like an invisible sandblaster, started pouring into Demon Reach. I watched, too drained to move more. I did, I noted, have burns on my arms. I didn't feel them. They didn't look like anything epic, but they were there. "Fix," I said. "Thank you." He looked at me, his expression guarded, but nodded his head slightly. "It seemed I was in your debt, Winter." His eyes sparkled, just for a second. "Couldn't have that." I found myself laughing weakly. "No. No, it might break something." "It broke my damned wrist," he snorted. "My jaw isn't happy either. Good punch." "I cheated," I said. "Our business, there's no such thing," he said. "I should have known you were goosing me, talking like that. Most of the fighting I've done, there hasn't been much in the way of taunt and insult." "Raise your standards. There's almost always time for an insult or two." He smiled, though it was a bit pained. He waggled the fingers of his right hand experimentally. "Are you done?" I exhaled slowly and didn't answer. "How much of what you told her is true?" he asked. "What did you hear?" I asked him. "Pretty much everything after you took the knife out of me." "Nail," I corrected him, and held it up so he could see. It still had his blood on it. He looked a little pained. "Harry, would you mind?" "No," I said, and wiped the blood into the earth, scrubbing it off the nail. "Thanks," he said. He squinted at the wall and then at me. "How the hell did you get in here?" "Trade secrets," I said. "How did you guys get here? I know you didn't take a boat." "Flew in," Fix said. "Shapeshifters. I dropped from a hang glider over the lake and parachuted in."
"Damn, you got extreme."
"I'm getting there," he said. "So you landed here and put the circle up?"
"Trade secrets," he said cautiously.
"You realize we still aren't sitting in the same dugout, right? I can do the frenemies thing, it's kind of traditional, but we are not on the same side."
"No, you're on the wrong side," I said. "Maybe more than one."
"That's what every conflict sounds like," he said. "Not everyone can be equally right, Harry."
"But believe you me, everyone can be equally wrong," I said.
"Fix, this is about more than winter and summer."
He frowned at that.
"Tell me this," I said. "I'm not asking for anything specific, anything that I might be able to use against you later." As if Maeve would let me have a later. "Just tell me. Has Maeve ever asked you to take something at her word, and just told you something was true, straight up?"
Fix's frown deepened.
"And you thought to yourself, hey, that's odd. She never just tells anyone anything straight up."
His lips parted slightly, and his eyes fixed on Maeve.
"And you thought that if anyone but one of the ladies had said it, you would wonder if she was lying. But she didn't leave any wiggle room, so it had to be the truth."
"So?" he asked very quietly.
"So let me ask you this," I said. "If you assume that she can lie, even if it was just that once, how does it change the picture?"
Fix might have had some foolish idealism going, but he'd never been anywhere close to stupid.
"Oh," he breathed. "Remember when Lily opened the door to Arctis Tor for us back when?"
"Sure."
"When we got inside, the Lanonshi was popsicled in Mab's garden," I said, "because something had invaded her and influenced her actions. Mab was in the middle of some kind of exorcism based on the model of an ice age."
"And?"
"And what if this invader got into the water before Mab caught it?" I asked. "What if it got into Maeve?"
"That's crazy," he said. "Mab's the one who's gone mental."
"Is she?" I asked him. "Is it so crazy? Remember that meeting at Max? Remember how we found out that Mab had cracked a gasket?"
"Maeve told—"
He stopped speaking suddenly.
"Yeah," I said.
"A minute ago, you told Lily to ignore the words and look at the actions. You know as well as I do which speaks louder. You know who I am and what I've done. So I'm going to ask you one more question," I said. "Whose idea was it to be here tonight? Lily's or Maeve's?"
The blood drained from his face. "Oh," fuck.
I bowed my head. Then I said, Fix, I saved you because you're a decent guy, and I don't care if we're on different teams. I don't want you dead.
Yeah, he said quietly. It speaks pretty loud.
But maybe you knew I'd think that. Maybe you did it so that you could play me. Maybe you're giving me way more credit for cunning than I'm due. You know how I work. How often do I get to a neat, elegant solution that ties everything up? Can you look at me right now and honestly say to yourself, Dresden, that wily genius, this must be part of his master plan.
I spread my hands and looked up at him expectantly.
Fix looked at me, dirty, naked, shivering, burned, bruised, covered in soot and ash.
Fuck, he said again, and looked back at the ladies.
I don't think Maeve did anything to Lily's head, I said. I don't think she needed to. I think Lily was insecure and lonely enough that all Maeve needed to do was act sort of like a person. Give Lily someone who she felt understood what she was going through. Someone she thought would have her back.
A friend, Fix said.
Yes.
Everyone wants to have a friend, he said quietly. Is that so bad?
Thelma and Louise were friends, I said.
I pointed at the triangle.
Canyon. The muscles along his jaw jumped several times.
Even if you're being honest, and you're right, and I'm not copping to either, so what?
Those coteries with them are their inner circles. They'll obey, without question. You've got nothing left to fight with, and I sure as hell can't take them all on alone.
I didn't want to say it, to give anything away to a potential enemy. Nemesis could have taken Fix, for all I knew. It could be there inside him right now, smirking at the rapport it was establishing with me. That was the ugly fact. But sometimes you have to ignore the math and follow the wisdom of your heart. My heart told me that Fix was a decent guy.
Fix, I know about this island. It's kind of my stomping grounds. That's how I got through. And I know that if Maeve has her way, this island is going Mount St. Helens, and taking Chicago with it.
He stared at me, frowning, pensive.
My daughter is in town, I said in a whisper. She'll die.
He blinked.
You have a...
Then he rocked back a little, as he realized what I'd entrusted him with.
Oh, Christ, Dresden.
I took a deep breath and pressed on.
The hunt is out there, taking it to the outsiders right now, I said. And they're winning. And my crew is here, outside the circle. Murphy, Molly, Thomas, Mouse. If I can take the circle down, we aren't alone.
When did we happen? He asked in a flat, hard tone.
I looked up at him and saw laughter at the corners of his eyes. Sometimes the wisdom of the heart is not at all a bad thing.
I won't let anything hurt Lily, he said, for any reason, period.
Agreed, I said. Maeve's the bad guy.
He tested his right hand again and got a little more motion out of it before he winced.
I don't know where this will get you, he said, but as far as I could tell, this was just a ritual circle, like any other.
How so?
When we landed, Maeve sent some hounds and some little folk after you and went straight for that lighthouse. And the guardian just popped up out of the ground where it is now. Maeve assaulted the spirit, just like right now. She kept it busy while Lily walked a circle of the hilltop, singing. I've seen her set up circles like that 1,000 times. But once she'd gone all the way around, kaboom, up came the wall.
I grunted.
Then... It's a pre-installed defense that can be triggered like...
Hell's bells, not like a ward.
It is a ward. A huge one. But if anything of the island passes through the circle without disturbing it, and anything that isn't of the island is destroyed... I followed the logic through and sagged.
What? Fix asked.
Then there's no way to break the circle, I breathed. It's like a time lock safe. It isn't coming down until sunrise.
Meaning what?
I swallowed. Sunrise was too late. So I gathered whatever scraps of strength I had left in me and pushed myself slowly, wearily to my feet.
Meaning, I said, we're on our own.
Fix eyed the center of the clearing. He passed me a silvery knife he drew from his belt and said,
there you go with that we again.
Chapter 50.
I started walking. It was iffy for a couple of steps, but I got the hang of it.
Is there a plan?
Fix asked, keeping up with me.
Maeve, I kill her.
Which had been Mab's freaking order in the first place.
He glanced aside. You know she's an immortal, right?
Yeah. His eyes narrowed.
What do I do?
They've got the Guardian pinned down, I said. I think one of those crews has got to stay on it, or it'll break loose. Otherwise Maeve would have been stomping on me right next to Lily.
Fix nodded.
She never passes up the chance to tear the wings off a fly.
He frowned. What happens if the Guardian gets loose?
I wasn't sure. Demon Reach had enormous power, an absolute dedication to purpose, and little sense of proportion. I had very little idea of its tactical capabilities.
It might or might not be able to actually help in a fight.
Actually, I was sort of hoping it wouldn't. Imagine trying to kill specific ants in a crowd of ants with a baseball bat. I was pretty sure that if Demon Reach ever started swinging at someone, I wanted to be over the horizon at the very least.
In fact, I realized that was probably the problem here. Demon Reach existed on an epic scale. It was neither suited to nor capable of effectively dealing with beings of such relative insignificance. Standing off a walker and a small army of outsiders had not been a huge problem for the island. But Maeve and Lily had slipped inside its guard. They and their personal attendants were sparrows attacking an eagle. The eagle was bigger and stronger and capable of killing any of them, and it didn't matter in the least. Not only that, but Demon Reach was a genius loci, a nature spirit. The Fae were intimately connected to nature on a level that no one had ever been able to fully understand. One could probably make an argument that Demon Reach was one of the Fae, or at least a very close neighbor. Either way, the mantles of the Ladies of Winter and Summer would carry a measure of dominion and power over beings like Demon Reach. Clearly they were not sovereign over the Guardian Spirit, because it was withstanding them. Just as clearly they had something going for them, because it wasn't trying to crush them, either.
I'm not sure, I answered. But the point here is that if we jump Maeve, Lily is going to be too busy keeping a lid on the Guardian to get involved.
The two of us, Fix said, are going to take on all 10 of them?
Nah, I said. I take Maeve. You get the other 9.
What if they don't cooperate?
Chastise them.
Fix snorted. That'll be quick, one way or the other. And it's going to mean war if the summer night assaults nobles of the winter court.
Not at all, I said. They aren't nobles, they're outlaws. I just outlawed them by the authority invested in me and stuff.
I also hereby declare us a joint task force.
We're a task force? As of now, I said.
Fix bobbed his head amiably.
If we dance fast enough, maybe we can sell that.
Then what?
If we're both alive, we'll figure it out.
We took a few more steps before Fix said,
you can't take Maeve, wizard. Not in the shape you're in. Not even if she was alone.
No, I said, I can't.
But maybe the winter night could. Ever since I'd gotten out of my bed in my quarters in Arctis Tor, I'd felt the power of the winter mantle inside me, and held it back. I'd felt the primal drives that were its power, the need to hunt, to fight, to protect territory, to kill. Winter's nature was beautiful violence, stark clarity, the most feral needs and animal desires and killer instinct,
pitted against the season of cold and death. The will and desire to fight, to live, even when there was no shelter, no warmth, no respite, no hope, and no help. I'd fought against that drive, repressed it, held it at bay. That savagery was never meant for a world of grocery stores and electric blankets and peaceable assembly. It was meant for times like this. So I let winter in, and everything changed. My weariness vanished, not because my body was no longer weary, but because my body was no longer important, only my will. My fear vanished too. Fear was for prey. Fear was for the things I was about to hunt. My doubts vanished as well. Doubt was for things that did not know their purpose, and I knew mine. This was a winter matter, a fairy matter, a family matter, and it was precisely correct that only beings of fairy resolve it. I knew exactly what I had to do. There was a throat that needed ripping.
"Harry?" asked Fix. "Are you okay?"
I looked aside at him.
As hunting partners went, Fix didn't look like much, but I'd seen him in action before. He was no one to underestimate, and I needed him. Once I didn't, things might change, because he was on my island, and that wasn't something I could let slide. But for now, I could do worse than to have him at my side.
"I'm a little hungry," I said, and smiled.
"Here, don't need it."
I tossed the knife to him, point first.
He caught it deftly by the handle. I saw the minor shifts in shadow on his neck as his shoulders tensed up.
"Remember, you've got iron."
I didn't sneer at him, because what would be the point? But I did roll the nail back and forth between my fingers and heard it scraping on ice. I looked down and found that ice had condensed out of the water in the air and formed over my fingertips. I put the nail between my teeth so that I could hold up my fingers. As I watched, icicles began to form, guided by raw instinct, stretching out from my fingertips. I flexed my fingers a few times and saw the edges form, the ice hard and razor sharp.
"Nice,"
I debated. "Armor too? Too heavy. This needed to happen fast. Besides, I wouldn't want the armor to be in the way for what would come after. That was going to be the good part."
"Time to play," I said around the nail.
I took 4 steps, building up to a run, and leapt into the air toward Maeve. 50 feet, no problem. It was glorious, the freedom, the certainty, and I could not imagine what had made me so squeamish about embracing winter in the first place. Bad things kept happening to me. It was high fucking time I started happening to them. Maeve must have sensed something at the last instant, despite her focus on Demon Reach. I was a fraction of a second away before she moved with the serpentine quickness of the she, throwing herself to one side. My claws missed her throat by inches. They did slice off one of her dreadlocks, and it whirled through the air as I hit the ground, legs absorbing the shock as my feet dug into the muddy ground near the lighthouse. There was an instant of complete shock from Maeve's coterie, and I used it to slice at the redcap's eyes, just as Fix landed on the raw head's shoulders and overbore the creature, sending it toppling forward to the ground. I felt my claws hit. The redcap screamed and reeled away from most of the blow, darting back, brushing past one of the she from the botanic gardens behind him. The she had a blank, confused look on his face as he tried to fight his way out of the concentration of supporting Maeve in her suddenly interrupted spell. No time to think. Claws of bloody ice flashed at him, and I opened his throat to the windpipe. He went down with a choked scream, and I stepped on his chest to fling myself at the two behind him, one a twisted figure inside a droopy gray cloak and hood, the other a lean, gangling thing with the head of a boar, covered in tattoos and bone beads. I stomped a foot down onto the cloak, slammed my clawed hand into the body behind it, and ripped out something ropey and hot and slippery. The boar-headed thing tore at my body with its tusks, and I felt hot, distant pain on my ribs. I drove a foot up between its legs in a kick that lifted it 6 inches off the ground, and took off an ear and half its face with my claws. I sensed Fix at my back and heard him grunt, "Down!" I dropped to my knees and bounced back up again. In the time I was down, his sword flicked out over my head, drove into the chest of the boar thing, and whistled out again, taking heart's blood with it. Then there was a roar, a sound that came from something truly enormous, and someone slammed a tree trunk into my lower back. It took me off my feet and sent silver pain through my body. I landed in a roll and came up to mostly steady feet, one hand supporting some of my weight, the other up in a defensive posture. It was the Rawhead. Rawheads are parasites, creatures that assemble bodies for themselves out of the bone and blood of freshly dead beings. They were more common when every farm and village did some slaughtering each day, back before grocery stores and fast food. As I'd noted before, this one was enormous, bigger than a couple of large steers, 12 feet tall and weighing at least a ton. The cloak had been torn from it, and now it looked like a bizarre sculpture of bones of various creatures, drenched in fresh blood. It had the skull of something big, maybe a hippo or a rhino, and luminous lights danced in the empty eye sockets. It drew in a huge, wheezing breath and roared again. Fix was picking himself up off the ground, bounding up as if he hadn't been hurt at all, but the Red Cap and 4 other she were stalking toward him with weapons drawn. Fix faced them squarely, blade in hand, a small smile on his plain face. "My, my, my," Maeve said. She stepped around the leg of the Rawhead into sight, giving me a frankly appraising stare. "Who would have thought you would dirty up so well, wizard? I mean, the claws, the blood, the eyes?" She shivered. "It gets to me. I've always had a thing for bad boys." I smiled around the nail.
"Funny, because I've got something for you, too."
"Yeah?" she asked and licked her lips. "You finally gonna nail me, big guy? You've been so coy."
"I'm done teasing," I said.
Maeve slipped both hands behind her back, arching her body, thrusting her chest toward me. It wasn't a particularly impressive chest, but it was well-formed and pale and lovely and hidden beneath entirely too much bikini for my taste. A snarl bubbled up out of my throat.
"That's right," Maeve said, her wide eyes unblinking. "I know what you're feeling. The need to fight, to kill, to take, to fuck."
She took a pair of slow steps toward me, making her hips shift back and forth.
"This is right. It's exactly what you should be feeling."
I flexed the fingers of my free hand and prepared to strike. She just had to come a little closer.
"Can you imagine this all the time, wizard?" Maeve purred.
Steel began to ring out back where Fix was, but I ignored it. 2 more steps.
"Can you imagine feeling this strong all the time? Can you imagine being so hungry?"
She took another step and another deep breath.
"And feeding that hunger, sating it, quenching it in flesh and screams."
She slid her left hand out from behind her back and ran her palm slowly over her stomach and sighed.
"This flesh, I would not give it to you. I would fight, dare you to do your worst. You could unleash your every aching need, and that would be just the beginning." I was breathing hard now, though I hadn't been a moment before.
My eyes had locked onto the interplay of muscle and skin over her vulnerable belly. The claws would tear through her gut so easily there. Or I could use my teeth, or just my tongue.
"Sex and violence," Maeve purred.
She had taken a couple more steps toward me, but I wasn't sure when or why it mattered.
"Hunger and need. Take me here on this ground. Don't give me pleasure, wizard. Just take. Let it out, the beast inside you. I wish you to. I dare you to."
Her fingers popped the snap on the little shorts.
Stop denying yourself. Stop thinking. This feels right.
Hell yeah, it did. Maeve might have been one of the she, and fast, and have all kinds of magic powers, but she wasn't stronger than me. Once I took her to the ground, I could do as I pleased with her. I felt my mouth water. Some might have come out of one corner. Maeve stepped closer and breathed.
You came for my throat, didn't you?
She let her head tilt bonelessly to one side and slid her hand up her lithe body to push her hair back and away from her neck. Her hips were making small, slow shifts of her weight, a constant distraction. Her throat was lean and lovely.
Here it is. Come to me, my knight. It's all right. Let it out, and I will make everything worth it.
Her throat. I had wanted it for something, I thought, but now I just wanted. That would be how to do it. Set my teeth on her throat while I took her. If she struggled, or didn't struggle enough, I would be able to start ripping my way toward the blood.
This is how it is supposed to be, Maeve purred. Knight and lady together, fucking like animals, taking what we please.
Her mouth turned up into a smile.
I thought you'd never let it in deep, where I could touch.
Her lovely face took on a feigned youthful innocence.
But I can touch it now, can't I?
I growled. I'd forgotten how to do whatever that other thing was. All I could think about was the need. Claim her as a mate. Take whatever I pleased from her. Make her mine. Except... wait. A fluttering surge of pure terror went through me. And it was energy enough to let me rip the winter from my thoughts, to push it back. It didn't want to go. It fought me every inch of the way, howling, filled with raw lust for flesh and for blood. My ribs suddenly ached. My head spun a little. I suddenly needed that hand on the ground to keep my balance. Maeve saw it the second I regained control. Her eyelids lowered, almost closed, and she breathed.
So close. But perhaps there is still time. Is that your staff, wizard, or are you just happy to see me?
I bared my teeth and said, Maeve.
This is perfect, she said. In one night, I'm going to unleash the sleepers, slay a starborn, put an end to this troublesome mortal city, and begin a war between summer and winter. By the time the real assault on the gates begins, winter and summer will be hunting one another in the night, and be so busy gouging out one another's eyes that they'll never see what is coming, all thanks to me. And you, of course. I couldn't have done this at all without you.
She leaned a little closer as she spoke that last, and I ripped at her throat with my ice claws. I was exhausted, and it was slow, entirely lacking in the focused power and precision I'd felt under the influence of winter. She bobbed her head back a fraction of an inch, and the swipe missed and sent me down into the dirt. Maeve let out a little peal of laughter and clapped her hands. Then she flicked a couple of fingers negligently toward me and said to the rawhead,
"Tear him to pieces."
The rawhead took two lumbering steps forward and reached down toward me with bony, bloody claws. But before it could grab me, there was a rush of footsteps, and a four-legged form, consisting entirely of what looked like mud, slammed into its rearmost leg. The mud creature hit the rawhead hard. The power of its impact cracked bones and blew the leg out from beneath the rawhead. It bellowed a ground-shaking roar. A ton of bloody bones fell, and the mud creature, white teeth flashing, kept after it, snarling. And a nimbus of blue light gathered around its jaws. I looked up to see more mud creatures rushing up the hill, though the others were bipedal, of various sizes and shapes.
The first one to reach me drew a steel sword from a muddy scabbard and went after the raw head as it fell, Falcata being used with the brutal power strikes normally employed with a freaking axe. Silver eyes flashed in the blobby, mud-covered face.
Thomas.
Maeve snarled and stepped toward me, bringing her right hand out from behind her back. She gripped a tiny little automatic in her fingers, though God only knew where she'd been concealing it. She half lifted it, but before she could shoot, gunshots rang out, sharp and clear. One of them hit the ground maybe 3 feet away, and Maeve bolted aside, vanishing behind a veil as she went. The smallest mud figure came to my side, lowering a mud-covered P-90. She hooked a little hand beneath one of my arms, her blue eyes reddened and blinking rapidly. With surprising strength, she dragged me back from the rawhead while Thomas and Mouse fought it. The others hurried up to join Karen, and while Karen covered us, Muddy Mac got a shoulder underneath me and with a grunt of effort, picked me up in a fireman's carry.
"Come on," Karen said. "The cottage!"
While she kept her P-90 at the ready and Mac toted me, the other two mud figures, Sarissa and Justine, hurried along beside us. A moment later, Mac dumped me gently, more or less, onto the floor of the cottage. Karen kept her gun pointed at the door.
"Karen!"
I managed to gasp. Her eyes didn't waver from the door.
"Got tired of waiting on you. I'm here."
I spit the nail out of my mouth and into my hand.
"How?"
I asked. Then I eyed them all and said,
"Mud. You covered yourselves in mud."
"Everywhere," she confirmed. "Nostrils, eyes, ears, everywhere the light could touch. We figured out that if you completely covered something, it could make it through that wall. God, I'm going to shower for a week."
Oh, that was clever.
The defense mechanism wasn't a thinking being, capable of making judgment calls. It was simply a machine, albeit one made of magic, a combination detector and bug zapper. By covering themselves with mud, they tricked it into thinking they were of the island. Outside the cottage, the raw head bellowed, and Mouse's snarling battle bark rang out defiantly.
"This is insane," Sarissa breathed.
"The stones of the cottage have protections on them," I said. "Not sure how well they work, but they should help." I looked back at Karen. "Where's Molly?"
"Out there, playing invisible, girl."
There was the sound of a heavy impact, and Mouse let out a terrible, pained-sounding yelp. Then it was quiet. Karen's breathing started coming faster. She resettled her grip on the weapon.
"Oh, God," Sarissa said. "Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God."
I would have gotten terrified, too, but I was just too tired for it to stick. There was no warning, nothing at all. The rawhead shoved its arm into the cottage, seized Karen by the gun, and hauled her out. The weapon barked several times as she went. And then it got quiet again.
"We have to run," Sarissa said in a whisper. "Harry, please, we should run. Open a way into the Never Never. Get us out of here."
"I've got a feeling we wouldn't like the part of the Never Never this place borders," I said.
"Oh, Sir Knight," Maeve called from outside. "Come out, come out, wherever you are, you and everyone with you, or I'm going to start playing with your friends."
"Hey, why don't you come in here, Maeve?"
I called back.
"We'll talk about it."
I waited for an answer. I got one a minute later. Karen let out a pained, gasping sound.
"Damn it,"
I muttered. Then I started the climb to my feet again.
"Come on."
"What?" Sarissa asked.
"No, I can't go out there."
"You're about to," I said quietly. "Mac?"
"We go out," Mac said. "She'll kill us."
"If we don't, she'll kill us anyway, starting with Karen," I said quietly. "Maeve likes hurting people. Maybe we can string her along until..."
"Until what?"
Sarissa asked.
"Sunrise? That's hours away."
Justine put her hand on Sarissa's shoulder.
"But we'll stay alive a little longer. Where there's life, there's hope." "You don't understand," Sarissa said. "Not for me, not for me."
Karen let out another gasp of pain, and I ground my teeth. "Sarissa," I said, "we don't have a choice." Lily just about roasted the top off the hill in a moment of pique. Maeve can do worse. If we stay in here, she will.
Die now, or be tortured to death in a few hours, she said. Those are our choices?
We buy time, I said. We buy time so that I can think and maybe figure some way for us to get out of this clusterfuck. Now get up, or so help me, I'll carry you out there. A flash of anger went over Sarissa's eyes, but she got up.
All right, Maeve, I called. You win. We're coming out.
I held up my hands, palms out, and walked out of the meager makeshift protection of the ruined cottage.
Chapter 51 Maeve was enjoying her victory tremendously. She stood on a pile of stone fallen from the lighthouse, next to the summer lady and her coterie, who were still focused upon restraining Demon Reach. On the ground in front of her lay Thomas, Karen, and Mouse. Mouse had been hog-tied and his muzzle held shut with thick bands of what looked like black ice. He wasn't struggling, but his deep, dark eyes were tracking everyone who moved. Karen sat with her hands tied behind her back, scowling so ferociously that I could see the expression even through the mud. And my brother lay on the ground bound up like Mouse was, but it didn't look like he was conscious. The rawhead loomed over them, minus one of its arms. The arm lay over on the ground, a jumble of brittle, cracked bones held together by withered strands of some kind of reddish fiber. The rawhead didn't have an expression to read, but I thought the glow of its eyes looked sullen and satisfied. The red cap was standing off to one side. One side of his face was a bloody mess, and he had only one good eye now. He was holding Karen's P90 casually, with much of the mud knocked off of it. Next to him, two of the she held Fix's arms behind his back. The summer night had a bruise forming on the entire left side of his skull. But Molly was not visible. So, I might have been dealt a bad hand, but I still had a hole card out there somewhere. Maeve hopped down from the fallen stones, still holding that little automatic in her hand and smiling widely.
You made it interesting, Dresden. I'll give you that. Your merry little band is just so...
She kicked Karen in the small of the back, drawing nothing but a hard exhale.
Feisty.
She eyed the people standing with me.
Now, let's see. Who do we have here?
Maeve made a gesture with one hand, and the air suddenly felt thick. Mud started plopping off of everyone covered in it, as if it had begun to rain again and gotten wetter and runnier.
Let's see, she murmured. Ah, the bartender. Irony there. Getting a good view, are you?
Mac stared at Maeve without speaking.
Please allow me to make sure you don't get bored, Maeve said, and shot him in the stomach.
Mac grunted and rocked back onto his heels. He stared at Maeve, his expression completely impassive. Then he exhaled a groan and fell to one knee.
Oh, Maeve said, her eyes glittering. That just never gets old.
Justine made a quiet sound and went to Mac's side. Maeve's eyes fastened on her.
And the vampire's crumpet. Luscious little thing, aren't you? And so close to Lady Wraith. You and I are going to have a long talk after this, darling. I just know you're going to start to see things my way.
Justine didn't look at Maeve and didn't answer. She didn't look frightened, just concerned for Mac. Maybe because Justine was not the most balanced and danger-aware person I knew, or maybe her poker face was just way better than mine. Maeve's eyes stopped on the last person with me, and her smile became positively vulpine.
Well, well, well. Sweet little Sarissa. Isn't this luscious? There's nothing I have that you don't want to ruin, is there?
Maeve, Sarissa said. She didn't seem frightened either, just tired.
Maeve, for God's sake, how many times have we had this talk? And yet you keep spoiling things for me.
Sarissa rolled her eyes and gave a helpless little lift and fall of her hands.
Maeve,
What could I possibly have ruined for you? Did finally moving out of that studio apartment destroy your life? Did getting my nursing degree somehow diminish your power? Did I steal some boyfriend of yours that you accidentally left breathing after the first night? It always goes back to that, doesn't it? Maeve said, her tone waspish. How important you think men are, and here you are trying to impress Mother by betting this one.
It was work, Maeve. Therapy.
I could see how therapeutic that dress was at his party.
My dress? You were wearing rhinestones and nothing else.
Maeve's face contorted in rage.
They were diamonds.
Karen looked back and forth between them with an expression of startled recognition.
Harry,
she said quietly. Yeah, I got it, I said. I turned to Sarissa, who looked younger than Molly. Mab's BFF, huh? I asked her.
You said that, not me, she said quickly.
Right, I said.
You're just a young, single, rehabilitative health professional.
This decade, sneered Maeve. What was it last time? Mathematics? You were going to describe the universe or some such? And before that, what was it? Environmental science? Did you save the Earth, Sarissa? And before that, an actress? You thought you could create art. Which soap opera was it again?
It doesn't matter, Sarissa said. She saw me staring at her and said,
It was before your time.
I blinked.
What?
She looked embarrassed.
I told you I was older than I looked.
Finally, I realize who you remind me of. I sighed, looking back and forth between Sarissa and Maeve. It must have been the scrubs that threw me off. Maeve is always dressed like a stripper, and she's always had piercings and the club lighting and the crazy Rasta hair. I looked back and forth between the two. Hell's bells, you're identical twins.
Not identical twins,
they both said at exactly the same time, in exactly the same tone of outrage. They broke off to glare at each other. How does that work, exactly? I asked. I was curious, but it was also an effort to buy time. I've yet to meet a megalomaniac who doesn't love talking about him or herself if you give them half a chance, especially the non-mortal ones. To them, a few minutes of chat in several centuries of life is nothing, and they let things build up inside them for decades at a time. You two were born changelings, weren't you? What happened?
I chose to be she, Maeve spat.
And you chose humanity, I asked Sarissa. Sarissa shrugged a shoulder and looked away.
Ha! Maeve spat. No, she never chose at all. Just remained between worlds, never making anything of herself, never committing to anything.
Maeve, Sarissa said quietly, don't.
Just floating along, pretty and empty and bored, Maeve went on in a sweet, poisonous tone. Unnoticed, unremarkable.
Maeve, said Lily in a harsh voice, looking up from where she stood. The summer lady kept a hand extended toward Demon Reach, and her face was covered in sweat.
I can't hold it alone all night. Hurry.
Maeve whirled toward Lily, stamping her foot on the ground.
This is my night! Do not rush me, you stupid cow!
Always so charming, Sarissa noted.
Maeve turned back to Sarissa, and her right arm, the one holding the gun, twitched several times.
Oh, keep it up, darling. See what happens.
You aren't going to let me live anyway, Maeve, Sarissa said. I'm not stupid.
And I am not blind, Maeve spat back. Do you think I did not know about all the time she has been spending with you? All the intimate talk, the activity together? Do you think I don't know what it means? She's doing with you what she always meant to do with you, using you as a spare, preparing you as the vessel for the mantle, preparing my replacement, as if I were a broken piece of a machine.
Sarissa looked pale and nodded slowly. Maeve, she said, her voice very soft, you're sick. You've got to know that.
Maeve stopped, tilting her head, and her hair covered most of her face.
Somewhere, you have to realize it. She wants to help you. She cares, in her way, Maeve.
Maeve moved her left arm alone, pointing a finger straight at me.
Yes, I can see how much she cared.
It isn't too late, Sarissa said. You know how she lays her plans. She prepares for everything, but it doesn't have to happen that way. The Lenanshi was sick and Mother helped her. But her power alone isn't enough to heal you. You have to want it, Maeve. You have to want to be healed.
Maeve quivered where she stood for a moment, like a slender tree placed under increasing strain.
We need the Winter Lady now, Sarissa said. We need you, Maeve. You're a vicious goddamn lunatic, and we need you back.
Maeve asked in a very small voice,
Does she talk about me?
Sarissa was silent. She swallowed. Maeve said, her voice harsher,
Does she talk about me?
Sarissa lifted her chin and shook her head.
She won't say your name, but I know she fears for you. You know that she never lets things show. It's how she's always been.
Maeve shuddered. Then she lifted her head and stared venomously at Sarissa.
I am strong, Sarissa. Stronger than I have ever been. Here, now, stronger than she is.
Her lips quivered and twitched back from her teeth into a hideous mockery of a smile.
Why should I want to be healed of that?
She cut loose with one of her psychotic laughs again.
I am about to unmake every precious thing she ever valued, more than her own blood, her own children. And where is she?
Maeve stuck her arms out and spun around in a pirouette. Her voice became pure vitriol.
Where? I have closed the circle of this place, and she may not enter. Of course, these stupid primates sussed out a way through it, but she, the queen of air and darkness, could not possibly stoop to such a thing. Not even if it costs her the lives of her daughter and the mortal world, too.
Oh, Maeve, Sarissa said, her voice thick with compassion and something like resignation.
Where is she, Sarissa?
Maeve demanded. There were tears on her cheeks, freezing into little white streaks, forming white frost on her eyelashes.
Where is her love? Where is her fury? Where is her anything?
While that drama was going on, I thought furiously. I thought about the mighty spirit who was my ally, who was being held immobile and impotent. I thought about the abilities of all my allies and how they might change the current situation if they weren't all incapacitated. Molly was the only one at liberty, and she had worn herself out over the lake. She wouldn't have much left in her. If she appeared now, the Fae would defeat her handily. She couldn't change this situation alone. Someone would have to set things into motion, give her some chaos to work with.
I just didn't have much chaos left in me. I was bone tired, and we needed a game changer.
The mantle of the Winter Night represented a source of power, true, but Maeve had damn near talked me into joining her team when I'd let it have free rein. I wasn't going to help anyone if I let myself give in to my inner psycho predator. If we weren't all inside the stupid circle, at least I could send out a message, a psychic warning. I was sure I could get it to my grandfather, to Elaine, and maybe to Warden Lucio. But while I was sure a mud coating could get us out of the circle, there was no way the Fae would give us time to coat ourselves and do it. We were effectively trapped in the circle until sunrise, just like a being summoned from the never-never...
Wait a minute.
Circles could be used for several different things. They could be used to focus the energy of a spell, shielding it from other energies. They could be used to cut off energy flows, to contain or discorporate a native being of the never-never. And if you were a mortal, a genuine native of the really real world, they could be used for one thing more. Summoning. The hilltop was one enormous circle, one enormous summoning circle.
She is not here, Maeve was ranting. She sends her hand to deal with me? So be it. Let me send her a message in reply.
The little automatic swiveled toward my head. I shouted as swiftly as I could.
putting whatever will I had left into the shortest and most elemental summons there is. Mab! 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 I summon thee!
Chapter 52. It's impossible to know how something is going to arrive when you summon it. Sometimes it's huge and dramatic, like it was with Titania. Sometimes they come in a burst of thunder or flame. Once this thing I'd summoned arrived in a shower of rotting meat, and it took me a month to get the smell out of my old lab. Less often they simply appear, like a slideshow image suddenly projected on the wall, drama-free. Mab came in a bell tone of sudden, awful, absolute silence. There was a flash, not of light, but of sudden snow, of frost that suddenly blanketed everything on the hilltop and gathered thick on my eyelashes. I reached up a hand to flick the snowflakes out of my eyes, and when I lowered it, Mab was there, again in her crow-black dress with her midnight eyes and ebon hair floating 3 feet off the ground. The frost was spreading from her, covering the hilltop, and the temperature dropped by 20 degrees. In the same instant, everything on the hilltop ceased moving. There was no wind. There were no fitful drops of rain, just pure, brittle, crystalline silence, and a sudden bleak, black presence that made me feel like hiding behind something very quietly. Mab's gaze took in the hilltop at a glance and stopped on Lily and her supporting coterie. Mab's left eye twitched once, and she spoke in a low, dreadfully precise voice.
"Cease this rudeness at once."
Lily suddenly stared at Mab with wide eyes, like a teenager who had been walked in upon while making out in the living room. The confidence of her stance faltered, and she abruptly lowered her hand. There was a sigh, as of completed labor from her crew. I checked Demon Reach. The guardian spirit had ceased to look slow-motion windblown, and simply stood in the opening to the lighthouse, motionless. Lily stared at Mab for a few seconds. Then she lifted her chin in defiance and took a few steps, until she stood shoulder to shoulder with Maeve. Mab made a low, disgusted sound and turned to face me.
"I have heeded your summons, yet I would not enter this domain unless specifically bidden. Have I your permission to do so?"
"Yes," I said. "Yes, you do." Mab nodded her head slightly and descended to the ground. From me, she turned to Demon Reach.
"I thank you for your patience and your assistance in this matter. You could have reacted differently, but chose not to. I am aware of the decision. It will not be forgotten."
Demon Reach bowed its head, barely, a gesture of acknowledgement, not cooperation or compliance. Once she had seen that, something seemed to ease out of Mab. It was hard to say what gave me that impression, yet I had the same sense of relief I would have felt upon seeing someone remove his hand from the grip of a firearm. Mab turned back to me and eyed me up and down. She quirked one eyebrow, very slightly, somehow conveying layers of disapproval toward multiple aspects of my appearance, conduct, and situation, and said,
"Finally."
"There's been a lot on my mind," I replied.
"It seems unlikely that your cares will lighten," Queen Mab replied. "Improve your mind."
I was going to say something smart-ass, but said mind noted that maybe I could wait until my bacon was entirely out of the fire before I did. I decided to pay attention to my mind and bowed my head in Mab's direction instead. I felt like I'd gotten a little smarter already. Baby steps. Then Mab turned to Maeve. The Winter Lady faced the Queen of Air and Darkness with cold fury in her eyes and a smile on her lips.
"So," Maeve said, "you come in black. You come as a judge. But then you always did that with me. But it's just a game."
"How a game?" Mab asked.
"You have already judged, passed sentence, and dispatched your executioner."
"You have duties. You have neglected them. What did you expect?"
"From you?"
Maeve said bitterly,
Nothing. Nothing is precisely what I have done, Mab said, for too long. Yet to lose you presents a danger of its own. I would prefer it if you allowed me to assist you to return to your duties.
I'm sure you would, Maeve sneered. I'm sure you would enjoy torturing me to the brink of sanity to make me a good little automaton again.
Mab's reply was a second slower coming than it should have been. No, Maeve.
Maeve ground her teeth. No one controls Maeve.
Frost formed on Mab's soot-black lashes.
Oh, child.
The words had weight to them and finality, like the lid to a coffin.
I will never be your good little hunting falcon again, Maeve continued. I will never bow my knee to anyone again, especially not to a jealous hag who envies everything she sees in me.
Envy? Mab asked. Maeve cut loose with another one of those lithium-laced laughs.
Envy! The great and mighty Mab, envious of her little girl.
Because I have something you will never have, Mother.
And what is that? Mab asked.
Choice!
Maeve snarled.
Stop!
Mab snapped, but not in time. Maeve bent her elbow to point her little gun casually across her body and, without looking, put a bullet into Lily's left temple.
No!
Fix screamed, suddenly struggling against the she holding him. Lily froze into absolute stillness for a second, her beautiful face confused. Then she fell like the petal of a dying flower.
Lily!
Fix screamed, his face contorted with agony. He fought wildly, though he couldn't escape, lunging toward Maeve, paying no attention whatsoever to his captors. For their part, Winter and Summer Fay alike seemed stunned into near paralysis, eyes locked onto Lily's fallen form. Mab stared at Lily for a long second, her eyes wide with an echo of the same shock.
What have you done?
Maeve threw back her head and howled mocking triumphant laughter, lifting her hands into the air.
Did you think I did not know why you prepared Sarissa, hag?
She half sang.
You wrought her into a vessel of fairy. Rejoice!
Thy will be done.
I didn't know what the hell she was talking about for a second. But then I saw it. Fire flickered to life over the late summer lady. It did not consume Lily. Rather, it gathered itself into green and cold light, a shape that vaguely mirrored Lily's own, arms spread out as she lay prostrate upon the frost-covered earth. Then, with a gathering shriek, the fire suddenly condensed into a form, the shape of something that looked like an eagle or a large hawk. Blinding light spread over the hilltop, and the hawk suddenly flashed from Lily's fallen form, directly into Sarissa. Sarissa's eyes widened in horror, and she lifted her arms in an instinctive defensive gesture. The hawk-shaped summer fire, the mantle of the summer lady, plunged through Sarissa's upraised arms and into her chest at the heart. Her body arched into a bow. She let out a scream, and green and gold light shone from her opened mouth, like a spotlight, throwing fresh, sharp shadows across the hilltop. Then her scream faded into a weeping, gurgling moan, and she fell to the earth, body curling into a shuddering fetal position.
Mantle passed, Maeve tittered. Nearest vessel filled. The seasons turn and turn and turn.
Mab's eyes were wide as she stared at Maeve.
Oh, oh,
Maeve said, her body twisting into a spontaneous little dance of pure glee.
You never saw that coming, did you, Mother? It never even occurred to you, did it?
Her own eyes widened in lunatic intensity.
And how will you slay me now? Whither would my mantle go? Where is the nearest vessel now? Some hapless mortal, perhaps, ignorant of its true nature? The instrument of some foe of yours, in alliance with me, ready to steal away the mantle and leave you vulnerable?
Maeve giggled.
I can play chess too, Mother.
better now than ever you could, and I am now less a liability to you alive than dead.